Grace for you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is the Gospel lesson, John 14, 15 through 21. Dragged along by Jesus. And the quote is from C.S. Lewis describing his coming to faith as being dragged, kicking and screaming into the kingdom of God. And so the particular promise from Jesus in verse 19, because I live, you also will live. These words are at the heart of Christianity. These words from Jesus set it apart from every other religion. The resurrection of Jesus is our resurrection, and as long as Jesus lives, we will live. Because I live, you also will live. See, there is an unconditional guarantee about eternal life and salvation that is so audacious, so bold, so cocky, that Christians who believe and know Jesus, well, their faith cannot help but stick out. Disciples in Jerusalem, they were very, very different. They had a confidence in Jesus Christ that came from his resurrection, and they knew no matter what happened to them, they had the resurrection in Jesus. Because I live, you also will live. Christians in Rome, they would not back down on what they believed, and they told about the resurrection of Jesus. And no torture, no imprisonment, no putting to death could separate them because they had that promise. Because I live, you also will live. And we are right now in the middle of some serious things. And we have watched the world in turmoil. And we've looked around our nation and seen panic and fear. We've seen sickness and suffering and death. And we also hold on to those words of Jesus, because I live, you also will live. I'm reminded of the three blessings that go with the baptism of Jesus. They tie in very closely with the blessings in this text. Heaven was opened. Because I live, you also will live. The Holy Spirit coming to you, another comforter, the Spirit of truth. And the Father saying, you are my beloved child. I will not leave you as orphans. The Father himself loves you. And it's obvious right at the outset that we are undeserving of those blessings, that they are things that Jesus had to earn for us, because heaven was closed to us because of our sins. Because instead of just being ignorant of the truth, we stood against it. We opposed it. We were rebellious against God. And because we had lost our rights as children of God and were instead children of wrath, so Jesus had to step into our place. That's what it means when he said to John, it is fitting in this way to fulfill all righteousness. There he was at the Jordan River, stepping into our place. And so we can say this again, because I live, you also will live. And we can say it in terms of our baptism, our last baptism here. A young child named Joey. See, Jesus called Joey to come to God, and Joey could not come. So after Jesus went to be baptized in his place. So Joey could be dragged along by Jesus into eternal life. Not a single one of us could generate the repentance in our hearts or be righteous and holy enough to earn life. So Jesus stepped into our place and he suffered our punishment for us to take us and drag us along, dragged along by Jesus into eternal life. We were unable even to believe the words and promises of the Bible. As sweet as they are, we were unable to receive them into our hearts. So Jesus became the author and perfecter of this thing called faith. And we are dragged along by Jesus into faith. And then Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to work the work of creating faith inside our hearts. We look at the first line of the gospel reading. It says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." I don't know about you, but I read that, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And I'm thinking right off, keep them? I don't keep them. I've not kept a single one of them. I'm sinful and unclean. But Jesus comes along to bring me into the kingdom of God. You see, when God speaks those words, when Jesus speaks those words, I think his first thought is that we love because he first loved us, and so he gets about the business of loving us. The love of God in Jesus Christ is the starting point. That love of God in Jesus Christ, it starts out and generates faith, love, and repentance, and hope, and all the other things of God, and does those things in our hearts. And we are dragged along by Jesus into faith and eternal life. Again, it all starts out with God. He is the one who baptizes. He is the one who forgives. He is the one who raises from the dead. He is the one who seeks us out and calls us by name and puts his name on us. And it's a very personal thing. He's the one who seeks you out by creating faith in you, by the waters of baptism and the word of God spoken over you. And then by the word of God, again, spoken into your ears. Sending that word of God into your life and into your soul. Let me rephrase this in a little thing we have used time and time again here. We call it the means of grace, and we say it this way. I learned this from a young lady in confirmation class a number of years ago. She talked about baptism and saying, "Well, could I call baptism the wet word?" And I'm there in front of the confirmation class thinking to myself, that's good. That is really good. That is better than anything I have today. So let's go with that. And then we started talking about the word, the wet word, and bringing in communion, the tasty word. So here it is. Jesus pours the word of God over your head while he is packing the word of God into your ears and into your soul. And that word of God brings us into life. And then Jesus puts the word of God in you through your eyeballs and your ears and right into your heart and soul and mind and brain. And the word of God is thoroughly in you. And then Jesus mixes the word of God with bread and wine and with his body and blood. And he takes that word of God and puts it into your mouth and on your tongue and all through your body. Then the question, why so many ways? Why doesn't he just speak that word of God? Why does he take that word of God and put it in us so many different ways? Well, he is persistent. And he has in mind that we are going to share his heaven and his eternal life and his entire collection of blessings. Bit of a memory here. It's like a parent or teacher working with a resistant student, encouraging, helping, carrying, if necessary, dragging them through the lessons to the knowledge and graduation, and saying, we are going to get through this. Jesus takes us and drags us along into the kingdom of God. Jesus is the one who, when we wander off and forget about him, he is the one who keeps on pursuing and searching and calling us back, and will do so your whole life long, and will never give up, never let up, never abandon you, because he has called you his friend. Parable of the lost sheep, or the lost coin, or the prodigal son. Those are all intended to paint for us the picture of God searching for his lost human beings, his friends, those who broke his law and turned away from him and against him way back in the Garden of Eden. That is why God called out Adam and Eve and said, "Where are you?" So he could bring them back into the kingdom of God through the promises fulfilled in Jesus. That's why the most important part of the promise in the Old Testament, in the words to Abraham, are, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." The scattering of the gospel to the far corners of the world, and the gathering in of people from every tribe and people and language and nation, bringing his people through and bringing us into the kingdom of God. That's why even the commandments, the Ten Commandments, they actually start out with God saying, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." It is his doing. It is a relationship where God promises, and then he seals his promise, going to the cross to carry our sins, to carry us along. Every one of us believes in Jesus have been dragged kicking and screaming into the kingdom of God. And it's a wonderful thing. It is a wonderful thing that Jesus does for us. In Jesus' name, amen.